It's been a few days now since a lot of the news and the newscasts on the radio disappeared. It's been a few days since word of the mass layoffs at Bell Media swept across the country. I guess I've had a few days to think about it and let it sink in. Although there's been very, very little about it written in local news media, in other forms of media. I guess because it's not a movie or a TV station, which other media seems to be obsessed with. No, what happens to radio just doesn't get much attention, does it? And yet, what we get from radio and have got from radio for decades has been so important and always so overlooked by other media and threatening to other media at many times. So I've had some time to think about it. And maybe it's time now to sit and say a little bit about it. I'm Paul Cross. You won't hear this on the news. But it's stuff that I think is important. More than 210 jobs cut in Toronto alone from Bell Media properties, including radio and TV. I'm not going to talk about TV today. It's not because I don't care about it. So I'm just not very interested in what happens with television. I'm more concerned about what happens with radio. That's my end of the business. It's what I'm interested in. It's what I create. It's what I do. It's what I teach. Audio-related things. And so I think it's very significant what has happened. It's very unfortunate. I think it has some implications, not just now, but for what it means for the future of local radio in Canada. Some students perceptively wondered this week, does this have an impact on what they're studying? Is it going to change the job prospects for them? Maybe to some extent, but as I pointed out in class earlier this week, there will be still opportunity coming at entry level. And lots of corporations, after they throw out all kinds of people out of work, then wonder why they can't get certain things done anymore, even though they say in their statement, this will make it easier for our customers at all levels to do business with us, or some ridiculous thing that has nothing to do, in this case, with the content and what the people do. They realize they can't carry on because the people who used to do those things they need to carry on, which, they generate revenue, aren't there anymore, so we're going to have to hire some more people and get them to do that. And, of course, we'll hire those people as cheaply as possible. See, what typically happens in a layoff in broadcasting, a mass cull in radio, is that the company that owns the station has decided, regardless of whether they think they're going to do that part of the product anymore, one of the things they have decided is, we're not going to pay that much to do that thing anymore. If we do it, we're going to do it much more cheaply. And so that brings us to what happened at Bell Media Properties. Specifically, I'll talk about CFRB, News Talk 1010 in Toronto, and at CJAD just briefly in Montreal. At CJAD in Montreal, the company said it was closing the newsroom. There will be no local news gathering on a historic radio station licensed to serve Montreal. Doesn't mean there won't be any news on the radio station. What I'm saying is there will be no local news gathering done expressly by CJAD. Now in Toronto, among the 210 people in total thrown out, are what appears to be almost the entire staff of the newsroom at what used to be CFRB. I say almost entire because I'm really not entirely sure, and I've heard one voice since still on And I don't know whether that person is working there on the basis that they believe they're working there or whether they think they're working out their time because they are going to. That I don't know. But the local news voices, other than that one, are gone. So I'm talking about newscasters. That is, people who write and deliver the news on air. Reporters who go out and get the stories and do the interviews and cut them up and turn them into voiced reports and such and generate material and go to the scene and make phone calls and get interviews. Reporters gone from the newsroom. The news director, who was also on the radio, one of the best newscasters in Canada, Kim Geddes, who hires the newsroom and sets the policy and makes the schedules and works with and develops staff. Gone. Some of the talk show hosts. Evenings with Barb DiGiulio, gone. Saturday afternoon show, Ted Wallison, who did mornings on CFRB back some time ago, gone. With his music director, Bill King. Bill, who I hear on Jazz FM, and on CIUT, coming out of U of T, where he has both places where he has radio shows. Sunday afternoon show with Mark Tui. And I'm not sure exactly what others. It's kind of hard to tell. And I'm not really in the know, I suppose. My work there was occasional and part-time. Typically, I was there Friday nights. And of course, I have a day job. So in that sense, I'm okay. I enjoy doing it. But I wasn't doing it day to day as my livelihood, like the other people put out. Or like the other part-time people who put out who had regular shifts more frequently and certainly relied on that income. What about the optics of the company doing this? So many people, especially in social media, have been pointing out that that corporation got something like $122 million in federal relief to cover employees' pay during the time of the pandemic, the COVID relief package. And after getting that $122 million, then this company wipes out hundreds of jobs that probably that money was supposed to help cover. During the pandemic, while the pandemic is still raging. And on top of that, and this is what so many people are pointing out in social media, on top of that, 4 and 5 days after their annual Let's Talk campaign day, this big devised campaign about supporting people with mental health needs and removing the stigma of mental health. Yes, very important issues. And then while celebrating how much money the corporation was going to allot or donate based on customer activity and actual buy-in to using their services on that day, the 5 cents per text or call or whatever it was. Then after all that, while those promos are still going, celebrating that and all that, then this company imposes this huge emotional stressor, this huge mental health impact, by putting the stress on hundreds of workers who've worked through the pandemic by putting them on the street with no notice. Now, I've read somewhere, I guess in a tweet, maybe it was Facebook, since, that some of the people got automated calls telling them they were done. I got a call I didn't notice at the time. I didn't recognize the number at the time, a message on my cell phone. A few hours later in the day, while starting to pick up some traffic about this, looked elsewhere on my phone and saw the phone number and still tried to figure out what it was and then recognized, oh, the exchange it's coming from matches the exchange at CFRB. Huh. So I made a call, listened to the message, and made a call back. And so I have Friday nights free now. But these other people who were there full time, or more, certainly more days per week than I, find themselves with no notice whatsoever put out. Now, the people who've been there long term, obviously, they have packages. They're not hurting right now in terms of today. They have some time to think about their future based on the packages they'll get. But you know, the people working in radio especially, which is what I want to talk about, have worked extra hard for more than a year because of what's been going on with the pandemic. People who don't listen to radio, people who don't use a lot of mass media, they can say whatever they think about what has or has not happened in the news. And it's nothing to me. I will say for a fact, people working in radio news have worked extra hard because of the pandemic. Not only because of being considered, they thought, essential workers under federal and, we thought, provincial government jurisdiction, as in we need radio and TV broadcasting to continue to happen, so we need these people. They're essential in an essential sector. They have to keep going to work during the pandemic. They're not necessarily among those who could work from home. They still have to go places to get the news. They still have to go places to broadcast the news because some of the access you need to certain systems and facilities to actually do the broadcast are a lot more complicated if you're a newscaster. There would only be two people in the building on Friday night by the time I did my first newscast of the evening at 7 o'clock. Me and the on-air board operator, separated by glass in the control room across the window from me. But that function I could not do at home because of needing access to too many systems. Talk show hosts in stations all over the world are doing shows from home. Music show hosts all over the world are doing them from home because you need very little equipment to do that, much less than a news gathering. And I would see, not only would I hear the extra work they were doing during the week, I would see when I went into the newsroom after 5 o'clock into Friday afternoon, I could see how worn out those people are who've been here all week. Not just doing what they normally do, doing extra reports that are going out as video, extra reports that are going out online, extra social media, trying to distribute this on all platforms, which I understand I'm tired of it. I don't care about anything that goes out over the radio. I really don't when I'm working. And I want to focus on the big picture. I want to focus on the 10,000 or 50,000, whatever people who are listening right now, although I don't think of in terms of numbers at the time. I don't care if somebody happens to see something I put online. That's of little interest to me. It's a distraction. But these people work so hard. And they have to sit and listen and look for the news and get it out every single day through all those briefings that other people put down. They have to sit through the federal briefing, the provincial briefing, the municipal briefing every single day and get the news out of it and ask the questions. There's one of the big things that is missing now with this. Almost every day you would hear Premier Doug Ford in Ontario at the daily provincial briefing called the name of a reporter from Newstalk 1010 when the moderator, the PR person controlling access to the questions being asked by reporters online calling in would say, and now on the phone there's Haley Cooper from Newstalk 1010 or Lucas Meyer from Newstalk 1010. Or Ashley Legasic from Newstalk 1010, or whatever other reporter or person on duty at the time from Newstalk 1010. That voice is gone. Oh, so what, Paul? It's only one reporter. No, it's not. The questions that were being asked would be strategic, and they might be questions that had circulated through the news and news talk-oriented show producers through an internal email memo circulating earlier in the day. What's the burning issue we want to get answered today? Not every question would originate that way. I'm saying that's one thing that did go on. The mayor is coming on the radio station 3 times a week during the pandemic. What do we need to find out today? That would happen. We're covering Trudeau today. Is there a question we should try to ask the Prime Minister? These things happen in a big city radio newsroom, especially a historic place like News Talk 1010, which used to be CFRB. When I was growing up, called itself Ontario's authoritative news voice. Still called itself that when I started at Chum in 1985. That was my fourth or fifth radio station, but a long history of a news image and reputation and solid work on the news. This is one of the interesting things to me as a person who's done this kind of work for 40 years, going back and doing it again once a week as professional practice and as staying involved in the industry. One of the great things, and I would say this to other people and to students, one of the great values in it for me, the things that made it interesting to do, would be that I might have material from 3 or 4 different reporters to work with that day. I've got a 5-minute newscast. Yes, I've got to keep on top of the surveillance and the local things happening and what's changing. And if it's Friday night, there's probably some and crosses on the air, there's probably been something explode and catch fire. And there's surveillance like shootings and these things. There's surveillance like political developments that come on the wire from the impeachment or the new developments in the pandemic, whatever, that you have to keep up with, but you've also got this great material worked up by various reporters at the station on behalf of the station, tailored to the way this station does things, to work with those things, to work them into, write them into your newscast. That's gone from this market. The city has lost that service. It makes me think of the way things went down in another mass layoff back in almost 20 years ago, in 2002, when people at what used to be Chum Radio got blown out after the company had let an executive make a really bad decision to take a historic radio station and turn it into a sports station and bring in a bunch of people who seem to know virtually nothing about radio. It's not really that interesting to me what they knew about sports. Lots of people know about sports. That doesn't mean they should get anywhere near a radio station. Now, a lot of those people should not have been near a radio station. And then after they'd had close to 2 years of bumbling and making all kinds of mistakes and not even be able to cover their own content sometimes without getting guys like me to do it. And then the sportscast sounded good, I'll tell you that. Or Bob Summers or Dan Blakely. The way those guys would do it. Compared to the alleged broadcasters that weren't there to do it at certain times, or they didn't have enough of, or whatever was the issue. Series of events lead to, long story short, a mass gathering. How many people were in the room? I don't know, 50-some? I'm not really sure. Watching the people at the front of the room, including a general manager who we knew didn't want to be in Toronto. An executive who looked about as confident in what he was about to say as I would be doing neurosurgery right now. Telling all these people that the era, it was the end of the road for this particular product, the team. And good riddance. Though I was wondering, why am I in this room? It looks to me like there's a bunch of us in the room who don't really have anything to do with the team per se. What links us commonly? What connects us? Oh, we've all been here for more than 15 years. It's probably a time they're going to say, yeah, we're cutting costs. We're going to get rid of you people because we're not going to pay that much to do that anymore. And one voice spoke out against what was happening. And that voice came out on Twitter this week, and so it reminded me of that day. Though I wouldn't have intended to tell the story about the team. And it was Paul Romanuk, who was one of the hosts on the team and did play-by-play. He does great play-by-play. And Paul Romanuk challenged them. Man. But Paul Romanuk on Twitter this week, chirping at the company with hashtag of let's talk and stuff and drawing the company's attention to that and kind of rubbing their nose in. You did this at this time. I'll probably talk more about what this means in terms of radio in longer term for local radio. This is a terrible thing to happen to local radio. It had already essentially happened at Chorus with AM 640 now using material from Global TV on radio. There is a way to have a mass newsroom that does radio and TV. It's not being done. It's considered passé. It was way back in time. Radio always suffered in a newsroom that had to share resources with TV. I worked in some of them. It always suffered. Radio's better on its own. It's faster. It's more lively. It's more vital. It's important. I'm really not interested in TV. But what this means in longer terms for local radio, what this means to licensing, I mean, what's the point even of having a licensed station if there's some only stuff on it that I could get online anyway? You don't need a license to put a talk show out. You could just shut down the transmitter. I'll probably think about things like that more formally in a more structured way in my formal podcast Crosstalk, and I'll do that sometime in the next few weeks in the near future. Not right away. There are other things I want to do along the way. But I wanted to talk about some of these things today because it's missing. Something just happened that is important in terms of the flow of information. It's important culturally. It's important socially in the city, and it's not being covered in the news. And you know, you could almost say, as I did to myself the other night, and I'm just pulling up a note, because I make notes sometimes when I'm sitting outside listening to the radio on my outdoor listening post where I like to sit and listen to things happening on the news. We're on the radio, we're on toxic talk radio that I can pick up from the United States, because I think it's important to be aware of what's going on. I was thinking while I was sitting there, I wondered what I did with the notes. That you could say, you know, we're living in troubled times, not just with the pandemic, but with what we've been through in the last few years, with what's happening, been happening in the United States. And as I record this, it's a month to the day since the insurrection on Capitol Hill in Washington. where people fueled by fake news, by deliberately distributed false information over toxic talk radio, over irresponsible talk television masquerading as news television, by absolutely corrupt and unfit politicians, an insurrection called into action through misinformation with the idea that an election had been stolen, which is absolutely not accurate. People acted on that. And about 3 weeks later, we started getting these mass layoffs here. I'm not connecting them. No, I'm not connecting them. What I'm saying is they got us to this point. You could think this way. We got to this point. We were in the pandemic. We had all this political stuff happening. And then after the new regime came into power and all the things that the conspiracy theorists are still saying about that regime, and then corporations started shutting down the flow of local information by closing or gutting local newsrooms. And it became harder and harder to find out what was really going on. What did Margaret Atwood say when she wrote The Handmaid's Tale? She said something about the news. Who even knows if it's true anymore? They only show us what they want us to see. Going to be fewer and fewer voices, distinctly different voices, creating, producing news, gathering and delivering news. And if somebody thinks, well, that's not a big deal because I don't listen to the radio, they still don't get what I'm talking about. I'll have more to say about it, as I say, when I do a formal episode with some research and some nuanced writing and some sound that backs it up. But I wanted to talk about this today. It's something that has happened significant in my city. The loss of much of the service of a historic radio station. The loss of local news. It's not going to be replaced in the same way. It's not. And the lack of other media attention and detail to this. More shabby treatment of radio. That's about what I want to say for today. I'm Paul Cross. You won't hear this on the news.